This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Roshan, and we have a Wang Xiaoning joining us over the miracle that is technology. Xiaoning, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, guys. How are you all doing?
All right, we're doing fine. Excited to have you with us for the rest of the show.
On a very, very clean line, I would say. Beautiful sound coming out of that.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about how we've all adapted to COVID-19. Now, if we look ahead, though, what are we going to have in about 15 minutes, Roshan?
In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking with Alvin Tai, a soft commodity analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on the outlook of the palm oil sector. Around 3,000 ringgit right now. The palm oil is essential to the Malaysian economy, right? It's one of those big commodities that we pay attention to outside of oil and gas.
Yes, but before that, we are going to take a look at the markets, where in the US overnight it closed, it was mostly in the green. The Dow Jones was up 0.2%, the S&P 500 up 0.3%, and the Nasdaq up 0.4%.
Asia, though, was primarily in the red. Japan was down 1.1%, Shanghai was down 1.7%, Hong Kong was down 1.8%, Korea was down 2.6%. I think this was on the back of yesterday's significant red numbers out of the US stock market. Singapore was down 1.2%. The KLCI, though, bucked the trend, recovering from the red yesterday to close at 0.3% in the green.
All right, and now for some insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us. Now, what's your take on last night's US jobless and continuing claims numbers? The numbers were flat. Does this mean that the pace of recovery is slowing?
Yeah, I think what's happening here is that you're seeing jobs that have disappeared and have not come back, just because I think the businesses are permanently impaired. And that's a lot to do with the service sector. So that's what I think you're seeing. So we're kind of stuck. And unless we get some targeted fiscal stimulus, I think this is going to be with us for a while.
And Tim, we've also seen choppy waters for U.S. equities in the last few weeks. I think the S&P is down 9% from its August peak, although it did close in the green a few hours back. What's your take? Are we going to continue seeing this choppy situation for a little longer?
You know, I think it was really the parabolic rise that we saw in the month of August, surely unsustainable. And, when you look at the multiple of revenue that a lot of these companies are trading, stocks are trading at, it is ridiculous. So I think you had a nice pullback to the S&P, it was like 3210-ish or 3220 level or whatnot, just maybe 3200, let's call it. That was where we broke out. So we pulled back to the breakout. So I look for a recovery. But I think that this was the first shot of, I think, a renewed downtrend that we're going to see. So I'm going to make a claim that the highs that we saw, I think, are going to hold here. And I'm going to lean on those. And I think I look at the retracement here as an opportunity to sell.
Now, another thing, a bit of positivity or possible optimism here, is that Nancy Pelosi, who's the Democratic Speaker of the House of Representatives, said that she was ready for negotiations when we were talking about the coronavirus relief plan or a bill thereabouts. How optimistic are you here that they'll finally get through the stalled talks?
Boy, I tell you, I think it's going to have to wait till after the election. I mean, I think it's just going to have to wait. And which case, you're going to get something, and I think going to be along the lines of infrastructure, not unlike what China really did to get things revving again. But, it's just the divide is just too great here for me to be optimistic about any type of resolution on stimulus. And besides, it just can't be stimulus for the sake of stimulus. It's got to be targeted.
And Tim, we are seeing a bit of a retreat to the safety of the US dollar after the recent US equity sell-off. So why are investors bypassing other safe haven assets here like gold and bonds in favor of cash?
That's a good point, because I think gold broke hard because of the dollar rally. And I think those two are very closely tied together. And to me, it's, it's viewed as a correction, perhaps, more than the start of a real bear run. But I think the gold market in particular was really tied to the dollar, which incidentally, I think the dollar rally, here's another one that you want to be looking to sell.
And Joe, taking a look at the wider situation, taking a look at the wider situation, there is a, when we take a look at, earlier this week, we saw Jerome Powell talk about how the stimulus was needed in order to make sure that recovery in the US kept going on. On a wider situation, there is underlying speculation that major central banks are going to turn on the taps further with more QE as in countries where the pandemic is worsening. Do you agree with that sentiment? And in terms of dry powder, how much is left?
Well, I really don't think, and I think the Fed knows that as well, and central banks are realizing that as well. You know, they've got negative interest rates, real interest rates, 1%. But what's happening here with this quantitative easing that they've been doing and underwriting every no asset left behind is they're really inflating asset prices, and the funds aren't really – money's not really going to the areas that really need it. That's where I've come back and where they're talking about fiscal stimulus and targeted, because quantitative easing, I think we've found in the past 10 years, doesn't equate with economic growth.
Now, let's also take a look over in Europe, Tim, where the PMIs show that services in the southern region has lagged even before most new distancing measures were implemented. How concerned are you about the divergent K-shaped recovery or a decoupling of economic growth in the euro area?
Yeah, I mean, it's something to really to pay attention to, especially with the worsening, the COVID situation in Spain and in particularly in Spain, I believe. But, you know, again, I think that Europe has benefited greatly from the recovery in China. And, I'm going to take a little more optimistic note and think that we'll get through this. And I think Europe may be one of those under-owned places. And I think they could be in for some sort of nice recovery. But it is a concern for sure, the PMI. But the whole global economy is really stalled right now. And I think it just needs to get into sync and in sync with what China did.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, talking to us a bit about the situation in Europe and how basically we are seeing countries around the world starting to stalling a little bit as the pandemic really starts to hit them. And second waves in some countries also start to come in. He's also of the opinion that we're seeing less of the start of a bear run in the U.S. as perhaps an overdue correction.
Yeah, we saw that sharp rise, right? He used the word parabolic in terms of how the stock market did. And if you take a look at the graphs, it really did. I mean, it's quite substantial how the stock market did. So this is a pullback. I think a lot of people were expecting this to happen, and there was not that much. There was not a lot of it's just about people are concerned about how long this is going to last. And then, of course, there's anxiety over the election. There's anxiety over whether a stimulus bill gets passed. So these are all things that are playing into the situation.
Yeah, unfortunately, markets always repeat themselves. History is a good indicator of what's to happen. So if you look at the last six presidential elections, right, markets actually corrected. So why would 2020 be any different? Plus, we are facing a pandemic. And like you say, Roshan, infection cases are rising not only just in US but also in Europe. So I think there's a little bit of a pullback. People are locking in their profits that they made earlier in August. And you might see investors looking at markets with fresh eyes maybe after the elections again.
Yeah, and I think Tim's also not particularly optimistic on any kind of resolution coming to pass before the November 3rd elections, which, I mean, doesn't bode well for the American people, right? Because they're the ones who are going to suffer as a result of this and have to tide themselves over in this time when the U.S. economy, much like economies around the world, are struggling to weather the effects of COVID-19. And, of course, also in the U.S., that we have also had news around the TikTok saga, where a U.S. federal judge has ordered a postponement on the Trump ban on TikTok that was supposed to be set for this Sunday. Now, this comes after ByteDance, who's the owner of TikTok, filed for a temporary block on the ban on Wednesday. So this is even as it continues to pursue approvals for a sale of its U.S. operations to Oracle and Walmart.
Who would have thought that 2020, beyond the hashtag new normal, it would be hashtag TikTok saga? I mean, really, it's not the most serious sounding company name, but it's got serious ramifications for the global and signaling for global fragmentation of the internet. I think this is what we're seeing now. It's very concerning to see it's not just the US and China. India is doing it as well, right? All countries are now concerned over their citizens' data and how this ensuing battle proceeds is going to be interesting. And everyone's actually taking a page out of the Great Firewall. China did this 10 years ago or so. They were the first ones to say, you've got, these are the rules we want. If you're going to have Chinese citizen data, it's got to be here. We've got to have access to it. All these different rules. And now other countries are just learning a little bit from them. Although the way the US with the Trump administration is going about it, it's a slightly more bombastic way of doing it.
I mean, for them, because there are political ramifications to it, right? And China is a very easy target for both Republicans and the Democrats when it comes to gaining support from the American people in the run-up to the elections. But It's interesting to me how, you know, we talked about how we've seen the rise of political nationalism over the last couple of years with Donald Trump, with Boris Johnson, with Erdogan in Turkey, things like that. And then at the start of this COVID-19 thing, we also started to see vaccine nationalism coming into play. You know, countries like France saying, hey, you know, if your vaccine is developed here in France by a French company, it should come to us first. And now it seems like this sentiment is starting to spread into the technological arena as well, where typically the internet has always been borderless, but now that it looks like that's no longer going to be the case.
The fragmentation of the internet as we know it. And, you know, I can't help but draw some parallels to what we're talking to Tim about a little earlier. Right, that parabolic rise. This is the pullback from the parabolic rise of globalization, right? This is something we saw for 20, 30 years. Free trade. Oh, the world's going to be a lot better. But the world didn't get a lot better for everyone. There were plenty of people who were left behind. And now we're seeing the ramifications of that populism in electoral bases that were left behind from the globalization.
So is the end of globalization nigh? Well, we will have to wait and see. But right now we have some messages coming up for you. And then up next, we're speaking with Alvin Tai, soft commodity analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on the outlook for the palm oil sector. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.